Amen. Man, be seated. Be seated, be seated. I want to start with a question today. What is the fastest way to change your life from a mediocre or a bad life to a great life? What is the best way, perhaps the only way, to turn a life from a failure to a success? What can you do if a person is mentally or emotionally or even physically ill? What can that person do to change that situation, that sickness? What can a person do to quickly change their circumstance? What can you do? What can an individual do that says just has a mediocre life, just a good life, but not a great life? What can that person do that will change that mediocre life to great? Well, you know, there's probably several things that will help, but what is there that will really do it? What is there that must be added to the mix to ever accomplish it to happen? And the answer is this. The answer is a person has to change their thought life. A life will never change until the way a person thinks change. Now, let me show you this in the scriptures. It's in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. It says this, "For as he thinketh in his heart," what does it say? "So is he," or "so is she." As a person thinks, that's how they are. "As he thinks in his heart, so is he." "So is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Now, the context of this is this person is saying something, but that's really not what they mean. That's not what they are. What they really are is what they think. This is what the verse says. You know, there are certain laws that God has embedded into existence. And these laws work whether you want them to or not. These laws work whether you try to stop them from working or not. These laws work every day, every moment, every second. These laws just work. For example, gravity. Gravity is one that we all are familiar, and gravity always works. Let me read to you about gravity here from the encyclopedia. Gravitation is a phenomenon. That means we don't know how it works. We just know it's something special. Gravity is a phenomenon through which all objects attract each other. Now, I want to just emphasize that just a second. We attract each other with gravity. We attract things with gravity. All objects are attracted to one another with gravity. Okay? Gravity is important. Which physics describe gravitation using the general theory of relativity. Theory. We don't know how it really works. We don't know how the objects of it work. We don't know the mechanisms of it, but we just know that it works. And so we have a theory about it. Gravitation is the reason for the very existence of the Earth, the sun, and every object in the universe. Without it, matter would not coalesce, which means to come together, to grow together, to fuse together into masses, and life would not exist. Gravity is more than what keeps you glued to this planet. Gravity causes us to exist. Without gravity, we're nothing. We're not who we are. We're just floating. We're not even floating around. We're nothing. Gravity causes everything to exist. Gravitation is also responsible for keeping the Earth and the other planets in their orbits around the sun, the moon, in its orbit around the Earth, the formation of tides, and the various other natural phenomenon that we observe. Gravity is more than just something that keeps us here. Now, gravity works all the time. It is a law of God. Now, laws of God work every day. Not only when you want them to, they work all the time, not every time. When you say every time sort of insinuates that you can make it not work, right? You cannot make gravity not work. Am I right? See, the law of God, and this is my point, this is what I'm trying to get us to see, is when God makes a law, it works all the time, not just every time. God has designed this universe. He's designed everything. Existence, he's designed it into something that's precise. It's exact. It's perfect. And it's all set into motion. For example, we know when the very next eclipse is going to be. The very next lunar eclipse, we know when that's going to happen. It's going to happen next month. on the 19th. That's going to be the next solar eclipse. The next total eclipse is going to happen next year in August. Now, we know that because God is precise. We know when an eclipse is going to happen 100 years from now. We know what time the sun is going to rise in the morning. We know what time it's going to set tomorrow night. How do we know that? Because God is a precise God. He sets things in motion just like they ought to be. Everything about life is set in motion and has laws that cause it to work. Now, let me say this about God's law. God's law is not to bind you. God's law is to make life good for you. And when you understand that it's going to work whether you want it to or not, and you just apply it to your life so that it works well for you, then you can have a blessed life. This is how it works. Now, in the book of Genesis, God gives us a bunch of laws. He doesn't say, thou shalt and thou shalt not in the book of Genesis, but he puts into existence laws that work all the time. Not every time, not when you want them to. They work all the time. For example, in the book of Genesis, it talks about day and night. Can you stop day or night? Can you unplug it so that the sun won't set today? Nope, can't do it, can you? Because it's a precise law of God. Sun's coming up, sun's going down. How about seasons? Winter, summer, spring, fall. Are we going to have these things? Why? Why? It's a law of God. It's going to happen. Nobody can hit pause button. You can't unplug it. It's going to happen because it's a law of God. And so in the book of Genesis, there is a law that I want to talk about today. It is called the law of after his kind. So let me read you a couple of verses here. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Would you say that back to me, after his kind? After his kind. And then he says, whose seed is in itself. Would you say that? Whose seed is in itself. After its kind, whose seed is in itself. God is setting this in now as a law. Whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Next verse says, and the earth brought forth. The earth obeys the law. The earth brought forth grass and herb-yielding seed after his kind. The tree-yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of these verses. She can scroll through there for you and let you see them. But if you read from there on down to verse 25, what you'll find is that 10 different times God says, after his kind. Everything, say everything, everything produces after his kind, and the seed is in itself. Now, this is the way it works with thoughts. We think and it produces something. I don't think any of us have any problems with that. It produces after his kind. You are producing. You make something happen with your thoughts. I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm not talking about positive confession. I'm not talking about wishful thinking. I'm talking about creative thinking that produces something in your life. Jesus said this in the book of Mark, chapter 7, and verse 20 through 23. It says this, what comes out of a man is what makes him. Now, in this situation, it's going to make him negative. It's going to make him unclean or make her unclean. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, from a man's heart, come evil what? Thoughts. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man or a woman unclean. Now, do you see that Jesus said that from within come thoughts? But what I really want us to see is that it's not just thoughts producing thoughts. Thoughts of immorality do not just create more thoughts of immorality. Thoughts of immorality create an immoral person. You see this? Because the seed is in itself. The seed goes through that thought and produces a life. Thoughts of theft do not just produce more thoughts of theft. What do thoughts of theft produce? A thief. Why? Because the seed is in itself and after his kind. Thoughts produce seeds which produce things. Now, what about murder? Murder. Does thoughts of murder just create more thoughts of murder? No. Thoughts of murder create a murderer. So thoughts, Jesus shows us, is what creates our lives. You are what you think. Now, let's change all of this. Say if a person thought about wealth all the time, would that create only thoughts of wealth? You ever been around a wealthy person? All they want to think about and talk about is wealth, money. How about a sick person, a mentally or physically or emotionally sick person? If they think health instead of sickness, will that health, with that thought, with that thinking process, that thinking system of thinking health, will it create more thoughts of only more thoughts of health, or will it create health? You help me now. Does it just create more thoughts, or does it create the product of health? There you go. How about overweight? An overweight person. I'm not talking to anybody here. Just using this as an example, okay? Thoughts of overweight. If a person who's overweight saw themselves with that perfect body that they want to have, does it just create more thoughts of looking nice? Or can it have the power, the seed within itself, to create a body like you want? You see, after his kind is a law, and a law must work that God puts into existence. It doesn't work some of the time. It doesn't work when you want it to work. It works all the time for the good or for the bad. It's according on what you decide to think. Because after his kind is a law of God, and it produces like after like. But not just thoughts, because thoughts create. There's a creative power in how we think. Now, I don't think I've said anything yet that is anything that we haven't heard here before, or probably that you didn't know before. But what I want to try to do today is say something and make us think about something that perhaps we haven't thought about before. So let me start by doing this way. How many of you have ever gotten up in the morning, or whenever, don't even have to get up, just using this as an example, you get up and some person is on your mind. You're thinking about a person. Maybe it's somebody that you miss, you love, it's a friend. You start thinking about them and you say, you know, I would really like to see them. I'm gonna give them a call. I'm gonna contact them. And maybe a couple of times during the day, maybe you think about it, and then maybe you go to Walmart. And you're walking down the aisle at Walmart. And there is that person. Ever happened? It happened. The person that you were thinking about just a short time later, there they are. Anybody ever had this happen to them? Okay. What do you say? I was just... What you're saying is, I'm just thinking about you, and there you are. Coincidence, right? If it's a coincidence, then why does it happen to all of us all the time? Let's do another. Okay, you're working on something, or you just want something. You say, hey, I really need this. This will help me, and I really like it. And all of a sudden, there is one. Somebody gives it to you, or you find it. There it is. Ever happened to you? Coincidence, right? Yeah, just exactly like gravity is a coincidence, just exactly like the sun coming up in the morning is a coincidence, just exactly like the eclipse is going to be a coincidence. No, it's a law of God. Set into motion by your thinking. One more, and then we'll go on. How about this one? You had a dream. It was one of those dreams where, man, it was so real. I mean, it had smells in it, and hear, you could hear it, and maybe you could even taste something. It was so detailed. Or maybe you just thought about something. It was so detailed. It was such a detailed thought. And then one day, you literally walked into that dream. you literally experienced that dream. Coincidence? You said deja vu. If that's a coincidence, then why does it happen to all of us? See, a coincidence doesn't happen to everybody. A coincidence just happens to you. If it's a coincidence, then why does it happen to everybody all the time? It's the power of your mind. It's the power of thinking. What you are is what you think. It's the law of after his kind, seed within itself. Every thought you have has a seed within it. Now, let's start from there and start working on this a little bit because I really want us to get this today. Let me flip that around now. I've given you some positives. How many has ever done something like this? You're going through a bad time in life. And you know, and you said something like, and you're going through a bad time and you're thinking about it, you says, you know, I think this is really going to be bad. And what happens? Sure enough, it's bad. How about this? It's flu season. You ever heard somebody say this? I hate flu season because I always get the flu. And what happens? You always get the flu. Seed in itself. You threw it out there. It brought it back. Now, let me show you this in the book of Job. Job chapter 3. Ever wonder why Job went through what Job went through? Job says in chapter 3 of verse 25 and 26 of the book of Job, it says, what I feared, what I thought about, what I focused on, what I concentrated on, what I meditated about, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded, what I focused, what I meditated, what I thought about, what I gave my thinking to, what I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace. I have no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. See, bad, fearful, and dreadful thoughts can only produce bad and fearful and dreadful results. When Job's life changed was when Job's thinking changed. Now think about that. When Job started thinking right, his life got right. There is power in the thought life. See, you're created to think like God. Does the Bible say or does the Bible not say that you have the mind of Christ? Now you got to let that mind be in you. You got to use it. But in the book of Genesis, again, we find the law where God put it into creation. Here's what happens in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. We talked about that a little bit last time. Dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. The word there, nephesh. Man became a living nephesh. A living, breathing, thinking creature. You are a thinking mass. You are a thinking substance. You have the ability to think. God says, I'm going to make you think so you can take dominion. Not just so you can add two and two, but so that you can take dominion over all the earth. God gives us the power to think, to change things. To create things. That's why we're able to think. That's why we're able to process. There is a power in thinking. Everything you have is because you had a thought to have it. Somebody talk to me a little bit. Come on, help me here. You know I'm telling you the truth. And all of you believe this, you're just afraid to say it. All of us know this is true. From day one of creation, everything that's been created was created with a thought. Everything you have, everything you will have, begins with a thought. And then it comes into existence. Because the way you think creates reality. Everything we are. See, what we think just doesn't make me who I am. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The way I think also draws to me and brings to me things. Thoughts produce things. good or bad. But every thought has a seed. And when you're releasing these seeds, they're going to go somewhere. And they're going to produce something. And that something's coming back to you. Every thought produces a seed. Have you ever had a bad situation going on in your life? And you couldn't stop talking about it. You were constantly thinking about it and talking about it. Well, what happened? Did it get better or worse? It got worse. Why? Because you were sending out these thoughts. And these thoughts were bringing back more bad thoughts, more bad things. This is the way it works. Did you know that 1% of the earth's wealth, let me start over, 1% of the people on earth control 96% of the earth's wealth. Let me say that again. 1% of the people on earth control 96% of the earth's wealth. Is that coincidence? Or do wealthy people think a lot about wealth? Again, you get around somebody that's got some money, that's all they want to talk about. You know why that's all they want to talk about? Because that's all they think about. It's not a coincidence. It's a law. In the thought is the seed. And the seed is going to go forth. And it's going to fall. And it's going to produce something. See, what we do is we create our lives with our words and with our thoughts. We draw to us what we think about. Thoughts become things. The law of after his kind, like makes like, does not work every time. It works all the time. It does not matter if you believe it or not. It's working. You are sending thoughts out and you are receiving back the products of those thoughts. Every time. You can't turn this off. You can't turn this on. You're going to sleep at night doesn't stop it. We talked earlier about dreams, right? You, even if you're not thinking, your last thought is still working. This works all the time. This is going on all the time. And what you throw out there is coming back to you. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, and he's really not talking about literal seed here, whatever a man soweth, that too shall he also reap. Your dreams are sending out thoughts. That's why I think it's so important that the last thought you have at night is a great thought, is where you want your life to go, because it's going out. And it's going to bring you back something. When you are thinking, and what you're thinking about now is drawing to your life for the future. Did you hear me? Whatever you're thinking about now is drawing to your life for the future. The things you think about the most and focus on the most will become your life. It's the law. It must happen. It must happen. Just like gravity must happen. Just like the sun coming up tomorrow must happen. It's a law of God. It will happen. And if you're a complaining person, and you complain a lot, you're sending out a lot of complaining thoughts. And what you're going to find tomorrow is you got more to complain about. And if you're a grateful person, and you're a thankful person, and you're always thinking grateful thoughts and thankful thoughts. What you're sending out are grateful and thankful thoughts. And what you're going to get back and what you're going to have to experience tomorrow is grateful and thankful things. Things that you're thankful for. See, you must be aware of your thoughts. You just can't let your mind run wild. You can't let it just throw out there anything it wants to throw out there. You got to control your thinking. You got to be aware of it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, it says this, casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. Now, we're going to do a lesson just on imaginations. Imaginations can be good or imaginations can be bad. But these the Apostle Paul is talking about here are bad imaginations, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity what? Every thought. Every other thought. A thought's just when you want to bring them into captivity. Every thought unto the obedience of Christ, until it's doing what Christ said it should do. Now, why did the Apostle Paul say that? Because every thought you have is powerful. Every thought that you have has a seed within it. You've got to be aware of the thoughts that you're letting go. Because tomorrow you're going to live it. Tomorrow you're going to walk in that. And so when we bring it into submission to Christ, then we have a good life. How many of you believe that you really are a child of God? You really are a child of God. What does that mean? Well, what does that mean that you're a child of God? Let me show you what the Bible says that means. It means in Psalms 82 and 8, it says, I have said, ye are gods. You're what? God says this. God says, I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Jesus affirmed that, and what Jesus said in John 10:34 was, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you're gods. What do gods do? See, what I want you to hear me saying today is that you are significant. You are important. What you think is important. What you say is important. You are a significant creature. And do gods not create? Or do we just die and go to heaven? We're gods in that we can think. We have the mind of Christ. We have the ability. God breathed into you. And he put into you a soul that can reason, that can think, that can create. No matter if you understand this or not, or even if you agree with it or not, you have to agree with me that there is a creative ability in your thoughts. You cannot choose to turn this off or to turn this on, this law. Here's what you can choose to do, though. You can live your life in one of two ways. You can live your life in, number one, you can live it by chance and take what comes directed by your worries and your fears. Or you can, number two, you can bring every thought into obedience and captivity and reprogram, if necessary, the way you think so that you can live an abundant life. Now, you do get to choose that. But you can't stop the law from happening. What you think creates your life. Now, how many want to agree with me that I really want to work on number two? I want to get my thinking the way it should be so that it will create for me a great life and bring to me a great life. How many want to go there? Okay. Let's spend our next few minutes together on that thought then. Okay, that's a good thought. What is the first thing that a person must do to change the way they think? What is the first thing they have to do? Well, first of all, you've got to believe that your thinking is powerful. If you just think that this is what I've just told you about just in these last few minutes or just junk, it doesn't mean anything, then your life will never change and your thinking will never change. If you really want to change how you think, you've got to realize and really believe that what you think is powerful. That what you live, that your life is dictated by your thoughts. That's the first thing you've got to do. You have got to realize you are important. And what you think is important. Every thought you have is important. That's the first thing. But then the second thing. The next thing that we need to do is remove, hear how I'm saying this, not just catch them, but remove bad thoughts and bad beliefs. And then replace those bad thoughts and bad beliefs with good creative thoughts and good creative beliefs. You've got to not just capture it, but replace it. I'm not talking about wishful thinking. I'm talking about replacement thinking. Is that okay? Replace those thoughts. Now, a belief, I said the word belief. What a belief is a thought that you now think of as truth. Beliefs are thoughts, and thoughts create. A belief is what now you believe as truth. And sometimes, like it or not, our beliefs are wrong. For example, you may believe that you will never be wealthy. Guess what? If that's a truth to you, that you'll never be wealthy, you'll never be successful. And not only will it affect you, but it's going to affect your children. Poverty produces poverty. People in the ghetto produce children that live in the ghetto. But if you change that and you replace that thought that I will never be successful and I will never be wealthy with, I am very successful and I am very wealthy, I will be more successful and I will be more wealthy, now you're doing something. Now you're creating something you can live in and enjoy. And we've already seen that what you think is going to be what you become. We know that's true. So we want to get that negative thought out. We want to not just hold it and catch it. We want to change that thought. We want to replace that thought. Now, what I want to do for you is give you a little worksheet. On the back of your gateway, I've got some things there for you to hopefully it'll help you. It's a process that I've learned, and it's very, very good. How do we replace a thought? Take a piece of paper. Draw a line down the middle of it. On the left column, make a heading that says, things I like about my life. Things I like about my life. And list those things. List those things. And I have you an example here. And it says, I have a great spouse. I enjoy relaxing by. What is it that you enjoy taking time and relaxing by? What is it that you enjoy doing that kind of refreshes you and cleanses you? I enjoy relaxing by. I am a good person. I am a great grandparent or parent. And I love my church and my pastor. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's a good thought. Now, before we look at the second part, how do you think about all of those things? Do those thoughts give you pleasure? Do they make you happy? Do you have good, positive thoughts about those things that you put in that column? Now, you don't have to put the last one there, but every other one. Do you have good thoughts? Does it make you smile and give you joy? And does it make you think good things? That's what you want in that column. Now, on the other side, put in that column, head it with things I do not like about my life. And I have some things here for us. I have a problem child. I am sick with. I never have enough money. I hate my job. I'm overweight. Now, how do you think about those things? Now, here's what you got to do. How does a person who does not have the things that you don't like in that column, is that right? How does a person think who does not have the things that you don't like in their don't like column think? A person might not have, I have a problem child in their column. How does that person think? They have children, but they don't have a problem child. How do they think? Because that's how you want to think. You want to replace the way you think with the way that person thinks. Is this making sense to you? See, what a person that does not have that problem and thinks about their child is they're proud of that child. And they think about how obedient that child is. They think about how successful that child is. They affirm that child. They think good things about that child. Because if you keep thinking bad things about the child, bad things are going to keep happening to the child. And so what we want to do is replace that thinking. Replace that thinking with the good thoughts, with the good things. See, my point is, you not only try to stop thinking bad thoughts, replace the bad thinking with good thinking. It's not just positive confession. This is replacement thinking. Replace it. And after you've identified your personal negative situation, after you've identified it, Then what you want to do that next is, after you've identified that thought, is write it out in a sentence. Let's use another one. Let's say, I am sick with cancer. Let's don't say that, but let's use this as an example. Say, I'm sick with cancer. This is something in my life that I don't like. Now what you want to do is, above that negative thought, above it, write the alternative thought, the replacement thought. Write above that thought this. Right above it, say, I am healthy and I have no sickness in my body. You're replacing that thought. And you need to do one more thing. You need to just do one more thing. You need to declare this. You need to say it. You need to release it with your words. Here's what you need to say, something like this. I have the thought and belief that I am sick with cancer. I choose to remove that thought and belief from my belief system because it limits me. I choose to replace it with, I am healthy and I have no sickness in my body. You've replaced that thought now. Now here's what will happen. Here's what will happen. As that thought begins to arise in you that you have cancer, all of a sudden you've got an immediate replacement for it. No, I'm not sick with cancer. I have no sickness in my body. I am healthy. That's what I choose to think about. And what you start doing is you start seeing yourself doing things that you can't now do. You start seeing yourself whole. You start seeing yourself healed. You start seeing yourself do something that you're not capable of doing right now because you feel like you're sick. You start seeing yourself. Don't stop taking your medication. Repeat, do not stop taking your medication. Do not stop taking your treatments. Repeat, do not stop taking your treatments and do not stop taking your medications. But see yourself coming to the termination of those treatments and that medication. Don't say, I guess I'll be doing this all the rest of my life. No, you see yourself coming to the end of having to take that medication and you're doing healthy things. Yeah. That's the way you're going to beat it. That's the way you're going to change it. And no matter what it is, you've got to replace the thought. And then you'll be driving down the road and all of a sudden this thought will come up. Well, I'm sick with cancer. No, I'm not sick with cancer. Immediately you've got a replacement thought. You've got a replacement thing. No, I'm healthy. There's no sickness in my body. And you begin to replace that thinking, and this good stuff begins to come out. You begin to think positively. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, Jesus says this. And before I read that, let me ask you this. I'm going to make sure you hear me. Would we say gravity is good or bad? I think it was good unless you're falling off a cliff, or falling off a building, or falling out of a tree. Can gravity kill you? Yeah. Your thinking can kill you. It's a law. Gravity is meant for good. What I've tried to tell you today is meant for good. See, if we don't use it the way it's supposed to be used, it can kill us. You can attract bad things into your life. You can attract bad people into your life. You parents are so worried that your kids are going to attract bad people into their lives, and others will be attracting them into their life, bad people. That's a fear you have. You don't see that. You don't say that. My kids have good friends. My children are blessed. Okay, now let me read this scripture to us. Matthew 21, 21. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and it will be done. I get this part. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer, in your meditation, in your thinking, in your thought, in your focus. You will receive it. You see, that cancer in you needs to be cursed just like this fig tree. It needs to wither. And that's what you need to do. But all of us have mountains that we need to cast into the sea. They're hindering our progress in life. And we need to speak to those things. We need to replace that mountain with interstate. And the only way you're going to do it is by your thoughts. It will never happen until you do replacement thinking and replace your thoughts with power thoughts. Power thoughts. Say that. Say power thoughts. Power thoughts. You see, here's why. It's because thoughts create reality. You're living in your thoughts. Thoughts create reality. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for the reception of the word. Father, I feel successful. I feel like it went forth and it accomplished what you wanted it to. I feel like we're challenged. I feel like we're going to take and do something with this lesson. So I speak that, Lord. I think that. I release that right now upon every person. That they will begin to see that their every thought needs to be controlled. They need to think good things. They need power thinking. They need creative thinking. So, Father, I ask you now to bless them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Eyes still closed. Head still bowed. I just want to make sure you've gotten away from the Lord. You haven't had the ability to communicate and pray with Him and talk with Him. You've been far from God. But you want to fix that. You want to get your thinking right. You want to have the mind of Christ. You want to have a relationship with Him. Don't miss this opportunity. He's tucking at your heart. Your hands are gripping and you're saying, I don't know. That just shows you that He really is talking to you. What I want you to do is, I'm not going to ask you to come down here, shake my hand, sign a membership card. And I just want to pray for you. I just want you to raise your hand right where you are. Say, Lord, say, preacher, I want to get back to the Lord where I need to be. If that's you, would you slip your hand up for me? Slip your hand up. See your hand. See your hand. Any others? Any others? Hold them up. Hold them up. See your hand. Yeah. Any others? See your hand. Amen. Any others? Any others? Hold them up. Father, I bless these people right now. Lord, they have heard your word today. They have a desire to hear the word of God and the seed of God going. Father, what has gone into them today, Father, I want it to bring forth much fruit. I want them to draw close to you. I want them to believe when they pray to you that they can have a great life, a life that Christ leads. And I ask you to bless us all in Jesus' name. Would you give the Lord a shout and hand clap? Amen. Amen. Okay. Stand with me. Let's bless the giving. They're going to be coming around receiving. And this